WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and if you're like me, you are still recovering from what took place last night at the United Center, Michigan State, Kansas, Denzel Valentine doing something we haven't seen in quite some time, okay? Unbelievable stuff. We will chat about Denzel's big night at the Champions Classic that has everyone in the college basketball world buzzing. We will also chat about the new college football rankings that were revealed at the same time, just on the heels of that Kansas and Michigan State matchup last night. We will also dive into the breaking news that occurred this morning, the Houston Rockets deciding to fire head coach of, former head coach of that team, Kevin McHale. Also, we'll finally get to chat about the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Pistons had a big game last night as they topped the Eastern Conference leading Cleveland Cavaliers. So much to get to, so little time. As always, our phone lines are now open. If you want to call in and chime in on anything that we discuss here on the show or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, like each and every day here on the show, we will take your calls up until the show closes at 2 p.m. Call in right now. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this hump day, Wednesday, November 18th. Last night in the second game of the Champions Classic, Michigan State came back from a 13-point deficit to top number 4 Kansas, 79-73 your final. Turnovers and fouls played a large part in the first half, but Michigan State regrouped at halftime and came out strong in the second. Denzel Valentine, he was a man last night. He recorded his first career triple-double with 29 points, 12 assists, 12 rebounds. Magic Johnson is the only other player to record a triple-double against Kansas, and Draymond Green, Charlie Bell, Magic, and now Denzel are the only players to record a triple-double in Michigan State basketball history. Freshman Matt McQuaid and Deontay Davis both had big points late in the game to help the Spartans. Here's a little sizzle of last night's crazy matchup.
Mason for three. Seldon with a rebound. He'll lean in and try a three. Valentine another rebound, and Michigan State has the victory. And they earned it on this night. Nothing came easy for them. McQuaid stepping up, and Denzel Valentine with a night of his life. Just the fourth player in Michigan State to record a triple-double. And Michigan State beats Kansas 79-73.
You guys are amazing. I'm telling you, we did some crazy stuff, but I give you credit that you hung in there. And I said, you never knew who was going to win the game for us, and different guys stepped up and started using guys. Staff, you did a hell of a job giving me suggestions. Man, that's a big win, guys.
Come on, y'all, man. That's hey, way to come back in the second half through adversity, man. That's exactly what I wanted to see. Is how we were going to respond when we had adversity. It wasn't pretty, but it's early in the season.
We got the dub.
Hey, listen, we can get better. You know what I'm saying? Coach gonna push us. We just gotta just keep battling and keep grinding, y'all. That's how you do it, man.
How about Denzel Valentine? Again, we'll have more on that game in just a second. The first game of the Champions Classic, Kentucky showed the world they're still Kentucky. Despite losing a handful of players to the National Basketball Association draft this past offseason as they beat number 5 Duke 74-63. Tyre Lewis, he scored 18 points and added 6 assists for Kentucky as the Wildcats held Duke's NBA prospects Grayson Allen and Brandon Ingram to a combined ugly 3 of 17 shooting.
Shot clock down to seven. Murray. Try to use the screen from Lee. Splits the defense. Floats it up. And Poitras slams it home.
Are you kidding? That's great coaching.
The number 23-ranked MSU women's basketball team plays host to the Georgia Bulldogs tonight at the Breslin Center as the team wraps up its two-game home-and-home matchup. Michigan State looks to avenge last season's loss to Georgia as second-team All-American Ariel Powers is expected to see her first action of the year as she recovers from a tendonitis injury in her Achilles. Now, both Georgia and Michigan State are 1-0 to start their respective seasons. Five student-athletes signed national letters of intent on Tuesday to play for Michigan State hockey starting in the fall of 2016. The latest recruits include defenseman Mitch Elliott from the Muskegon Lumberjacks, defenseman Ty Farmer of the Youngstown Phantoms, that's a cool name, goalie John Leatherman of the Chicago Steel, forward Taro Hiros of the Salmon Arm Silverbacks, and forward Sam Saliba of the Green Bay Gamblers. Between Champions Classic games last night, the newest college football playoff rankings were released. The top four remained intact from last week. Clemson remains at the number one spot with Alabama, Ohio State, and Notre Dame following. The first two out this week are Iowa, followed by Oklahoma State. Michigan State moves up to number 9. Michigan sits at number 12 in the latest rankings. Reggie Jackson had 23 points and 12 assists, and Andre Drummond notched his 11th double-double of the year with 25 points and 18 rebounds as the Pistons battled their way back from being down double digits to beat LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers 104-99, improving to 6-5 on the year. LeBron led the Eastern Conference leading Cavs with 30 points as he passed the logo, Jerry West, on the all-time scoring list to move into 19th place. The Pistons travel to Minnesota on Friday to take on the Timberwolves and then have a short turnaround Saturday as they play host to the Washington Wizards. The Detroit Red Wings, they will try to shut out the Washington Capitals again tonight as they did last week. Peter Mrazek will get the start in the net tonight. Coming off an overtime win in their last game, the Detroit Red Wings are currently tied for third place in the Eastern Conference with 19 points. The Caps are tied for second place in the Metropolitan Conference with 23 points. Puck drop is scheduled for 8 p.m. tonight. The Detroit Tigers, they have found their closer and not among the thin crop on the free agent market. The team has acquired veteran right-handed closer Francisco Rodriguez in exchange for infield prospect Javier Bentancourt and a player to be named later. And last but not least, after reaching the Western Conference Finals last season and signing him to a contract extension in the offseason, the slumping Houston Rockets, they have decided to fire head coach Kevin McHale. The Rockets are 4-7 this season, which includes a current four-game losing streak, which prompted a players-only meeting in the Toyota Center Tuesday morning. McHale, in his fifth season, was in the first year of a new three-year, $12 million contract. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, our phone lines are open. Call in if you want to express anything on your sports noggin. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. If you leave us a comment there, I will read it live here on the air. Or you can even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. It's time to start the show.
time. Yes!
It's the Valentine shot. Hey, on Valentine's Day, he hit a winner to beat Ohio State,
that's
the Buckeyes,
right,
on Valentine's Day. How cool was that? Now, right now, there's no count. He can keep that ball. Last year was a 5-second count.
Shot clock running down. He slips inside. And
what a move. What a tremendous move. When ball fake, shoulder fake, that kid will be an All-American. He will be an All-American.
Trying to turn the corner. Off the glass and in.
He can do no wrong, Dad. He can do no wrong. He's doing it all. Might as well go sell some popcorn as well.
27 for Valentine.
Nobody stays in front of him. They allow him to penetrate. High school basketball in Lansing.
29 for Valentine. Three. Valentine, another rebound, and Michigan State has the victory.
Folks, only four players have done this in Michigan State men's basketball history. Charlie Bell, Draymond Green, Irvin Magic Johnson, and now you can add another name to that list. Denzel Valentine was absolutely spectacular. And when you really evaluate that game from top to bottom, you can make an argument that this may have been the best individual performance that we have seen during the Michigan State men's basketball regular season in the history of this program. It was stunning. It was stunning to watch Denzel just really take over that game down the stretch. Whenever his team needed to make a play, when they were down 13 points in the first, when Kansas came out the gates and made a run, it was Denzel Valentine who said, "Give me the rock. I'm about to take over, and I am going to make something happen." Unbelievable performance for Valentine. Again, Charlie Bell, Draymond Green, Irvin Magic Johnson, and now Denzel Valentine, the only Spartans who have posted a triple-double during play. Only 13 in school history. Only 13 triple-doubles in Michigan State men's basketball history. Eight of those coming at the hands of, Magic Johnson himself. And what has really made this remarkable for me when watching what occurred last night and watching what Denzel Valentine did last night? You know, I had a flashback moment as I was sitting there watching the game. And the moment that stood out to me that instantly came to mind when watching Denzel put on this an incredible performance on the hardwood at the United Center in Chicago was, I remember when I was in college. I was a junior in college, and I had just started my internship with Home TV. Now, Home TV is located in Meridian Township, not too far from Michigan State's campus, and it's an internship program for those who are going into television broadcasting. Very cool stuff. I was with Home TV for 2 years throughout my college career. And while at Home TV, I became a news and a sports reporter on the air for Home TV. And we used to do a show, which still exists right now, called All Access, in which I, along with Audrey Dahlgren, who is formerly of Channel 6. She has moved on now as a reporter and anchor out in St. Louis. But Audrey and I, again, we went to Michigan State the same years, and it was kind of crazy. I mean, for those who follow the show, Audrey and I, we've kind of followed the same path in this whole, life after college sports reporting thing, because I was the third reporter at Channel 6, and then I left to come here at WKAR, and Audrey followed me. But, again, our history goes back to Home TV. And we co-hosted this show, and one of my assignments happened to be to go cover this kid who had been making noise in the high school basketball scene, really tearing it up. Again, he was in the running for Mr. Basketball for the state of Michigan. And there was a lot of buzz around the area and state surrounded around him. So I go out to Lansing Sexton High School, and I attended one of the practices, and I entered the gym, and who do I see practicing his little heart out, you know, shooting mid-range jumpers with his dad. It was Denzel Valentine, folks. This was Denzel. This is his senior year of high school. I go out there, and my task is to do a feature on Zell. So I see Zell shooting shots on one end of the court with Carlton Valentine, his father, who's still the head coach of Lansing Sexton High School right now. And on the other end of the court, who do I see working out? It's Bryn Forbes. I kid you not, folks. I mean, they were both in high school, both seniors, and they had just won their third state championship. Unbelievable stuff, and unbelievable what Carlton has done with that program. So I sat down with Zell, and here you have, and I never used this word when describing Denzel now, but back then, you know, he wasn't accustomed to really talking to the media. He was a bit shy to a degree. So we sit down, and I'm asking him, you know, talking with Denzel about, you know, his interest in basketball and his time at Lansing Sexton, and what's it like to be coached by your dad. It was such an interesting feature. And, you know, I talked with his dad as well. And, you know, we shared some candid moments on camera. And I left. I shook both of their hands and went back and put together that package. But it just amazes me because, again, I covered Denzel in high school. And to see him now as a senior for the Michigan State men's basketball team and to see his game evolve – and to see him evolve as a leader for the Spartans now, and to see what he did last night, I mean, I was certainly taken aback as I watched Denzel Valentine mature into a player that we have not previously seen before when we discussed number 45 in Spartan basketball history, folks. Unbelievable stuff. I mean, he had only one turnover for the game. Not one turnover after halftime. He created his own offense, didn't force anything. And that's something that really stood out to me when it comes to from an offensive perspective. One of the biggest knocks for Denzel Valentine here at Michigan State is that he has a turnover problem. That's being that was number one. And number two was that can he create his own offense? And we saw both of those criticisms go out completely out the window last night. He was unbelievable in front of a crowd that included more than 50 NBA executives watching his performance. It was really stunning what he was able to do, folks. Tom Izzo had a quote last night after the dust had settled on that performance from Valentine. And he was asked a question about, you know, Denzel's game maturing and how it would transition right now to the next level, to the NBA, seeing as though, again, there were more than 50 NBA executives watching Denzel Valentine put on a performance for the ages. And Tom Izzo had to say this, quote, "He's not that sexy, but this made him sexier." Gotta love that, right? And what Tom Izzo means by that is that Denzel may not be the fastest. He may not be the strongest. But Denzel Valentine has the skill set in which he can take over a game in other areas. And what I mean by that is his basketball IQ is completely through the roof. And it's been really cool to watch that evolve year after year after year as he's played under the tutelage of Tom Izzo, who's one of the great basketball minds that we've ever seen. And, you know, what we saw last night was that we didn't see Denzel force anything. He took what the defense gave him. And when he needed to make a play, it's not like Dale said, okay, you know what, I'm going to force up a shot here. No. When he knew he needed to make a play, it was making plays by getting his teammates involved, finding them for open buckets. And, you know, if they weren't open, he was taking the ball to the rack and hitting you with a nice floater up and off the glass. Or he was being aggressive and taking the ball to the paint and getting fouled and shooting free throws. It was a flawless performance, a triple-double against Kansas. That's something that hasn't happened since 1978-79 when Magic Johnson did it, folks. And again, he's now one of only three other players who have had a triple-double in Michigan State basketball history. And I really like this because, you know, Draymond Green, not too long ago, we all know about Draymond Green's success in the NBA. He's an NBA champion. He has become the heartbeat for that Golden State Warriors team, which actually pushed their winning streak to now, what, 12-0 on the year. Unbelievable stuff. And I really think they can certainly challenge that famed Chicago Bulls record back in the 90s during the Jordan era. But we know Draymond Green has become a staple, a hallmark in the NBA. A guy who came out of Michigan State who, again, wasn't the biggest, wasn't the strongest, wasn't the fastest, but had an incredible defensive game. He worked on his jump shot as well as put together a nice repertoire down low in the post. And Draymond Green, you know, equated his game to Denzel Valentine not too long ago and said that he is the guard version of me. And, you know, speaking of Draymond Green, we all know it. We saw Draymond not too long ago donate $3.1 million to the men's basketball program. He is still very, very close to Tom Izzo and the Spartan basketball program, as is many players in Spartan hoop history. They love coming back, and it just shows you what Izzo has built here. But Draymond Green is very close to the players who are currently on this team. And actually, Draymond Green, a pretty cool story here. Green called up Valentine on Sunday, and just to spark sort of a fire in the eyes of Denzel Valentine and to get him motivated for this matchup, Draymond Green took it upon himself to, while he was on that phone with Denzel Valentine, he went through the entire Michigan State men's basketball roster, name after name after name, and he named what every player on the roster couldn't do. That's pretty cool stuff, right? He named what they couldn't do in order to challenge Valentine to get the most out of his teammates. And Valentine responded, folks. He got a call from Magic Johnson right after the game. Mark Hollis was on the phone with Magic, and then all of a sudden Mark Hollis passes the phone to Valentine, and it's Magic asking him about what does that feel like. What did that feel like to go out there and get a triple-double? What was the best part of it? And Valentine, of course, answered that question by saying, of course, the assist. Unbelievable performance. This is a performance that we will be talking about for quite some time. You also have to point out the other players on this team who came up big when the Spartans needed it most. How about Matt McQuaid, huh? This freshman is tough. This freshman is fearless. How about that contested three-pointer with under a minute to go? And then right after he nails the three-pointer, he goes down on the defensive end and swats away a Kansas shot down low. Unbelievable stuff. Then I can go to another freshman. How about Deontay Davis knocking down two big free throws to ice the game for the Spartans last night? And then how about Matt Costello? He was big. Even though he fouled out of that game last night, he couldn't stay out of foul trouble. He fouled out with 30 seconds left to play. But Matt Costello, folks, that work that he did in the offseason, I mean, I got a chance to see Matt Costello in the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am that Ferguson, Coach Ferguson of Lansing Everett, Desmond Ferguson of Lansing Everett puts on every single year. And we saw Matt Costello adding some new things to his game and testing those things out. But we saw it come to fruition last night. He has worked on those post moves, and I particularly like that jump hook that he has added to his game and his repertoire. Matt Costello, he finished with 10 points, 9 rebounds. He was fantastic. If there's anything that you can harp on to look at what this team must improve on moving forward now, Michigan State has to stop giving the basketball away. And it's so ironic that I'm bringing this up because the guy whose name that you always reference when it came to turnovers was Denzel Valentine. But Denzel Valentine only had one turnover last night, folks. Again, after halftime in the second half, he didn't have any. But Michigan State as a whole, they gave the basketball away 16 times. That can't happen compared to just 6 by Kansas. But they got the dub. How many times have we seen Michigan State play a formidable team in November to start their year and end up leaving with an L? That didn't happen, folks. And Tom Izzo and that men's basketball team, they have to have some big smiles on their faces right now. So what now for this team? They will play Arkansas Pine Bluff on Friday night at the Breslin. Then they will take on Eastern Michigan University at home on Monday night. And then through the Thanksgiving break next week, they will have the Wooden Legacy in California. Impressive stuff, folks. I want to get your thoughts. If you stayed up for that Michigan State and Kansas game last night, what were your thoughts on what Denzel Valentine was able to do? What were your thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball team as a whole, finally getting that dub to start the year against a big opponent in the month of November? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, hailing from New Orleans, Isaac Constance. Did you stay up, my man? Did you catch that unbelievable game last night?
Oh, it's college. Of course I stayed up. Yeah, it's no like 11 p.m. bedtime or anything like that. But yeah, it was absolutely a great game back and forth. You talk about Kansas really controlled 35 of the 40 minutes until Michigan State came back and Denzel Valentine single-handedly kept this team in the game again and again. Yes, he was fantastic scoring-wise, but it's not often you can say in a college game that his scoring production was marginalized almost by what he did besides that. The passes he made, the amount of times he set up Bryn Forbes, the rebounds in important situations, including at the end of the game. And one play that specifically sticks out to me was the shovel pass to Colby Wallenman about halfway through the second half. I think Kansas was starting to go on a run, and Denzel Valentine splits a double team, pump fakes, and shovels a pass down to Colby Wallenman, who has a wide open layup. Denzel Valentine just again and again made the big plays this game, and he deserves all the accolades. Although, so do Michigan State freshmen. Like you said, they looked ready to play.
Yeah, they certainly did, and that's certainly going to pay dividends as the season moves on for Michigan State now. And you speak of those, the rebounding for Michigan State. Kansas, the Jayhawks, they were out-rebounded last night 45-25. But they did have the advantage on the offensive glass, 12-10. Perry Ellis, he shot 9-for-18. He was a thorn in the side of Michigan State for much of last night. While the rest of the starters for Kansas, other than Ellis, they were 10-for-37. So even though Ellis had a big night, Michigan State as a whole defensively, they did a fantastic job of making sure no one else got off. Fantastic performance overall for this team. And you know, and also what I love about Coach Izzo, and this is why I respect Tom so much and why so many praise him, is because Tom isn't afraid to play the best. Since 1997-98, when Michigan State started its run of 18 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, the Spartans have played 199 games against ranked opponents. That's the most of any team that appeared in the Final Four since then, followed by North Carolina at 182, Texas at 173, Duke also tied with Texas at 173, and then you have Kentucky at 170. Tom Izzo is a firm believer in playing these tough opponents early in the year so that he can see where his team is, what they need to improve on, and then he gets in the mode of being a mad scientist. He improves those things game by game by game as the rest of the year goes on. A great litmus test to see where this team is right now. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Joe from Hazlitt. Joe, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Fantastic, my man. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, well, just a quick comment. For starters, I do have a bedtime. I'm not in college anymore. I have to wake up at 5 in the morning, but I stayed up for the whole game. And this morning, there was just like a rush of energy inside of me. I mean, it's strange because I'm an adult, but I was still just motivated because a couple of things about Denzel, of all people, is that he's got an insane work ethic. And if you look at him from his freshman year all the way on to now, like he's transformed into one of the best players in college basketball because he just works so incredibly hard and because Izzo just gets the best out of his players.
Right. That's certainly true, Joe. And that's the thing. I mean, Denzel Valentine has always been a gym rat, and that's something Tom has talked about even before Denzel Valentine played one game as a Spartan here on campus.
And, I mean, even looking back, Draymond Green got drafted in the second round of the NBA draft, and people weren't really expecting too much to come out of him. But just based solely on how hard he works and how he hustles, kind of the main reason that he's in the NBA right now. And one of the great factors about Izzo in recruiting is that he tends every single year there's at least one to two guys on the team who just look like they work harder than everybody else in all of college sports.
Right.
And being a collegiate athlete isn't easy by any means, and they still manage to go above and beyond, which is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know what, Joe, as you're talking now, I know who this Joe is. This is Joe Morsi. Remember, back
right?
in the day, At Home TV. Joe,
hey,
you haven't called in since we, like, first started this show back 3 years ago. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. I work a lot. I'm sorry. I just realized I can stream this on the internet, and I thought I'd start listening again.
You know what, Joe? You're really the man who made me bring up that story when I – because you and I, we were both interns At Home TV back in college, and you remember when I put together that feature, and you left a comment on my Facebook page minutes before I took the air, and you're really the reason why I wanted to share that story with folks, because it's been unbelievable. You and I have both seen Denzel back in high school and how he's evolved to where he is now as a senior in college, and you're the reason why I wanted to share that story, my man, so thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. And, I mean, speaking of, if we're talking about old times, I also have to admit that you were right about the Pistons being good once we got rid of Greg Monroe, because that was also a two-week argument that we had.
Yes, I remember that. We went at it on social media.
I was wrong. That's why I don't work in sports and you do.
It's so, all good, Joe. It's all good. I got lucky. That's all that was, right? Joe, fantastic call, my man. You got to call in more often. We appreciate your call.
All right. You have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, let's hit our first break, folks. When we come back, again, we will continue to take your outstanding telephone calls. Call in 517-355-9527 if you have anything that you want to share here on the show. We will also chat about what occurred right before tip-off between the Spartans and Jayhawks as the newest edition of the college football playoff rankings were announced. Don't miss that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Again, our phone lines are open. Call in if anything is on your sports noggin, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Got to remind you all that, hey, it is Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. here at the WKAR TV studios, located inside of the Communication Arts and Sciences building here on the campus of Michigan State University, we record Current Sports TV, and we plan on having a packed house as the Division II Michigan Boys State Championship soccer team, that's right, the Mason Boys Varsity Soccer Team, they will be in the house rocking it out. The about 12 members of the team will be coming to enjoy that taping along with members of their respective families. We do have a few other audience members signed up for that taping as well, but I'll be sitting down with the head coach of that team. His name is Nick Binder. He is a graduate of Michigan State University, where he served as a four-year member of the Michigan State men's varsity soccer team. Prior to attending MSU, Binder was a four-year starter, two-time All-State player, and captain of the 1997 state championship team at Mason High School. Binder has been the head coach of Mason High School boys varsity soccer for 9 seasons with a record of 176-30-12. So Nick certainly knows his soccer, folks. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. And you know what? After this, I gotta get fresh, Isaac, because you know what? I'm doing this whole no shave November thing for charity. And it's getting out of hand now. Like, I've never rocked a beard. This is my first time I've ever done this First off, when you're growing out a beard, it itches so bad.
Yeah, it does.
It's really itchy. And then you go through this period. When you're first growing it, it looks fly. But if you don't trim that thing, oh, you look like Don King. I mean, it's crazy right now. So I got to go trim this thing up before a camera decides to grace myself on Current Sports TV, because I'm looking crazy right now, dude.
Well, it still counts if you don't shave it. As long as you just give it a nice little trim, it's still No Shave November. That's totally fair.
Exactly. As long as I don't shave the whole thing on. That's what I've been doing. I mean, I've been keeping it intact for the most part. But, man, this thing is getting just ridiculous right now. So looking forward to tonight's taping, though. All right. Well, moving on here. Want to briefly talk about the newest edition of the college football rankings, which I tell you what, college basketball, of course, you couldn't just have a night with just completely college basketball, right? College football had to find its way in there somehow. And it was so weird because after the Duke and Kentucky game, right after tip-off happens, you bring in Kirk Herbstreit and the fellas, and they hold like a live edition of the college football rankings. What is this, week 3? That they've been revealing this now. And right there at the United Center before a tip-off of Michigan State and Kansas. And this is how your newest edition of the rankings look. I'll just give you the top 10 right here. Clemson at number 1. Number 2, you got Alabama. Number 3, Ohio State. Number 4, Notre Dame. Number 5, Iowa. At 6, you have Oklahoma State. 7, Oklahoma. 8, Florida. 9, Michigan State. 10, Baylor. Michigan sits right on the outside of the top 10 at number 12, and number 11 is Stanford. So that's how your rankings look right now. As far as the top 4 goes, it's the exact same top 4 in the exact same order as last week's. Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame. I really don't think that any of those teams did anything to hurt their chances of not holding down that fort for another week. Again, Clemson, they got a win over Syracuse, 37-27. Alabama, we know how Alabama just really gave it to Dak Prescott. And Mississippi State, they beat them 31-6. They look like a legit championship contender now. Ohio State, they romped on Illinois 28-3. And then you have Notre Dame at 4 as they top Wake Forest 28-7. Really no surprise for me, Isaac, when looking at how that top 4 panned out.
Yeah, you can't really be shocked whatsoever. Like you said, none of these teams did anything to merit a loss of place in that top 4. However, the more and more you look at these rankings, in my opinion, the more and more D'Antonio can say to his program and his team, listen, if we win out, and that's a large ask, that is in no way assuming wins against Ohio State or Iowa if they beat Ohio State, but if Michigan State were to win out, they're in. Because I'll tell you what, all of these teams right above Michigan State, such as Oklahoma State, their route to the Final Four, they still have to play Oklahoma. They still have to play Baylor. It's going to be not easy whatsoever for them. Then you've got Oklahoma. They've still got to play Oklahoma State, and they still have to play TCU, I believe. So many of these teams above Michigan State have tough programs to play ahead, as well as Michigan State. In my opinion, the Spartans control their own destiny right now, and this is encouraging for Michigan State.
Yeah, it certainly is. And when you look at the entire spectrum here, you know, I briefly want to hit on Notre Dame here. Notre Dame sits at number 4. Now, there were a few upsets, to say the least, on Saturday. As Baylor, of course, they dropped from number 4 as they lost to Oklahoma 44-34. You had Stanford losing to Oregon. And talking about Stanford, you know, we engaged in dialogue last week, Isaac, about Notre Dame and whether or not they deserve a place right now in the college football playoff. I think Notre Dame is playing fantastic football. They're on their P's and Q's. And it's all about quality wins. Now, last week I said that Notre Dame, for them to solidify that spot, they have to beat Stanford. They play Stanford the last game of the regular season. But how sexy, to steal a word from Tom Izzo, how sexy will that win be if they do beat Stanford, seeing as though Stanford, again, they lost to Oregan last week. So I don't know. Looking for Notre Dame, I mean, looking at the teams who are on the outside looking in, you know, at 5-6, both undefeated in Iowa and Oklahoma State, I think that if Iowa wins out here,
which is saying a lot because they would have to beat, you know, the Big Ten champion of the East, which I don't think is going to happen. But let's say Iowa, for kicks and giggles, does end up winning the Big Ten championship. Iowa deserves to be in that college football playoff, even if Notre Dame does beat Stanford. I think you boot Notre Dame out if Iowa does run the table here.
I agree 100%. The other thing is, as we've seen the season progress, I think that Stanford win is devalued because of Stanford's loss to Oregon.
Right.
Although, with that being said, Oregon's gotten better as the season's rolled along as well. That loss to Utah is a far view back in that rearview mirror. But Northwestern, the loss to Northwestern for Stanford sticks out to me because Northwestern, they're a good team. They're very hard to judge. However, because any decent team they've played, they've been obliterated by, including Iowa, 40-10, including Michigan, 38-0. So if you have that debate, Iowa versus Notre Dame, I think you have to give it to Iowa because Iowa beat the only team that both of these two have played together. They beat them 40-10, while Stanford lost 16-6.
Right.
Therefore, I don't know. It's tough for me to put Notre Dame in that top four over Iowa at that same time, though. At this point in the season, we'll see what occurs a few weeks from now. Because if Iowa were to win that Big Ten championship, hypothetically, Iowa would have the value that, you know, added on by Ohio State going down to them or Michigan State going down to them. Whereas Notre Dame, all they have left is Stanford to prove it.
Right, exactly. I agree with you. And, you know, it's interesting because at 5-6, you have Iowa and Oklahoma State, two teams that are undefeated at 10-0. And then you look at the top four, Alabama has a loss and Notre Dame has a loss. Iowa and Oklahoma State has to be sitting there shaking their head a bit. So, I don't know. What do you guys think of the newest edition of the college football rankings? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And also, I mean, Oregon knocking off Stanford on Sunday, I mean, it does nothing but also helps Michigan State's case, especially if they go on to beat Ohio State this weekend, seeing as though Michigan State beat Oregon at the beginning of the season. So
and Oklahoma State, too, was right. So close to losing to Iowa State.
They were.
That also makes you think, I mean, you've got a little bit of trepidation picking them really high in the rankings.
Yeah, certainly. All right, moving on now. I want to get to this news because this, you know, it didn't really surprise me, but then it did. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it surprised me from the standpoint, you know, when looking at the success that Kevin McHale has had with the Houston Rockets. Again, they were in the Western Conference Finals last year, folks. But the way this year has started for the NBA's Houston Rockets has been just dismal. A dismal start. 4-7 right now, including a four-game losing streak that prompted a players-only meeting at the Toyota Center on Tuesday morning. And when right now, when you evaluate the Houston Rockets, it's just a sad case, especially when you just look at the talent that's on this team. I mean, you have a guy in James Harden who was an MVP candidate last season. He was actually voted by the team at the BET Players Awards, which I don't know how that even exists, but it's awards voted by the players. First time that's ever happened in the NBA. But he was voted by the players in the NBA as their MVP for the season, but he has not played great to start the year. Again, folks, we're only talking about 11 games here. So I'm very conflicted when analyzing this story because it's so early in the year to be jumping off the cliff. But right now, when looking at the numbers here, right now, the Houston Rockets, when it comes to field goal percentage offense, they rank 25th in the league, 27th on field goal percentage defense. When it comes to three-point field goal percentage, they're 29th in the league. When it comes to the defense, 23rd. So offense, 29th, defense, 23rd. And then efficiency, overall efficiency on the offensive end, they're 24th in the league. And on the defensive end, they're 29th in the league. And I mentioned James Harden here, again, who was an MVP candidate last year, played lights out. He doesn't play any defense. That's a big knock on him. But he's shooting 37% from the field, 26% from the three-point line. And it's just really remarkable to me how, you know, you have a player of that caliber just underperform at this point in the season. Now, James Harden, again, clearly the Rockets' best player. An interesting statistic from ESPN Stats and Information. 29 players are averaging at least 15 field goals per game this season. Now, according to ESPN, among them, only Kobe Bryant, that's an ugly situation out there in L.A., only Kobe Bryant has a worse field goal percentage than James Harden among those players who average at least 15 field goals per game. Kobe at 33.6, that's his field goal percentage, and Harden, as I mentioned, at 37.2. And then don't even get me started on the way Dwight Howard has played this year. And Dwight Howard has, in my opinion, been one of the biggest disappointments for a big man that we've seen in the NBA. Because when you look at Dwight, he is such an unbelievably physical specimen. I mean, he's huge. He's got cannons for arms. You look at Dwight Howard and you say, okay, this is an NBA body that should be dominating 9 times out of 10 on any given night in the NBA. But he's soft. That's the thing about Dwight Howard. He's just like a big old roll of Charmin. Just so soft down low. And it's easy to point the finger for this start at Kevin McHale. And he certainly does deserve a bit of blame for this. And especially when a team holds a players-only meeting, excluding Kevin McHale from even talks as to why this team has started off so bad this season, that sort of alludes to this team doesn't even has trust in his head coach. And also, I want to point to a quote in which Kevin McHale, after the Celtics lost on Monday, I mean, Kevin McHale hasn't given this team any hope. He didn't even sound like a head coach when he made the statement, but he said, quote, "We're hanging our head," and he continued to say, "Yeah, we're just hanging our head right now." Usually, a head coach would say, "Hey, we had a bad day, but we're looking to improve," something positive. But looking at that interview, there was no hope or inspiration for the team. So the writing has been on the wall, folks. And it comes at an odd time because Kevin McHale just got a contract extension. So this story surprised me. And in my opinion, I do think that the Houston Rockets jumped the gun a little bit too early. I really do. I really do. I think that Kevin McHale is a great coach. And at this early in the year to make that decision, I think somebody else in the NBA is going to get a steal. If Kevin McHale decides to go to another team and decides to coach again. Isaac, what's your reaction to the story?
Yeah, I was shocked when I read this, Al, because like you said, this Western Conference is just about better than we've ever seen it before. More teams competing for that Western Conference final spot. And the Rockets found their way to it last year. They beat the Clippers in the second round of the playoffs. That's incredibly impressive. They beat the Trailblazers in the first, which was also a good win. Or not the Trailblazers, but the Rockets, they've just been growing as a team until this last year where they totally stagnated. And I think even more disappointing than James Harden, you know he's going to get his shots up. And you know sometimes they're not going to fall. I thought the bigger problem for the Rockets is part of the reason they brought on Kevin McHale is to make Dwight Howard into the player we saw with the Magic. People talk about Andre Drummond and throw his stats back to the 90s with Hakeem Olajuwon. I throw it back to the mid-2000s with Dwight Howard when he single-handedly led that Magic team to an NBA Finals appearance, only to lose to the Spurs, I believe. But Dwight Howard's been terrible. Ty Lawson, who they gave up so much for, including future first-round draft picks, has been even worse. He's in the top 5 in the NBA for minutes per game, is not averaging even 9 points per game, right, is shooting at a rate of 33%, and he's traditionally one of the top assist men. He's averaging less than James Harden. So this Rockets team is in total shambles right now. However, with all that being said, it's 11 games.
Exactly.
This coach has done so much for the team. Kevin McHale, he is your best chance at revitalizing Dwight Howard. If anybody can do it, it's one of the best big men in NBA history who has coaching experience. So from here, yeah, the Rockets fired him. But where do they go? Where's the source for optimism? Because James Harden, he's not going to do it himself. He's been trying to do it himself. He's shooting over 9 threes a game. That's not coaching. That's a player making bad decisions.
Right.
So therefore, I don't think you can blame the coach for all of this. I don't think Kevin McHale should be rewarded with a Prius for the way he's given this team drive so far, because he obviously hasn't. But at the same time, he should not be fired after 11 games, especially considering that new contract he just signed.
Yeah, exactly. I just think somebody else in the NBA is going to get a great steal here, because I think Kevin McHale is a fantastic coach. And the proof is in the pudding. He has an incredible track record when it comes to his coaching in the league. And I just think that there's no hope for Dwight Howard. I just think that Dwight Howard, I mean, what year is he in the NBA now? I don't even know. But he's been in the NBA long enough to improve his game and become a juggernaut and use that body to his advantage. I think Dwight Howard has hit his ceiling. I think we've seen the best of Dwight Howard. That's just in my opinion. All right, very cool bite here, because this morning on the Dan Patrick Show, Michael B. Jordan, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite actors in the game, he actually played a character by the name of Vince Howard on the hit TV show Friday Night Lights. He played a star running back for East Dillon High School. And Michael B. Jordan, of course, I'm excited about his new movie entitled Creed, in which he plays Apollo Creed's son. Of course, it's a spinoff from the famous boxing montage Rocky. Sylvester Stallone, we all know that, right? And actually, Stallone is going to be in the film as well. So on this promo tour, he made a stop to the Dan Patrick Show. And Michael B. Jordan, he staged a Selection Day press conference, if he was Vince Howard, on where he would have taken his talents after high school. And he chose...
Vince Howard. Can you recreate Vince here?
I can definitely I can do the walk and everything.
If you want to go over to the big board here, you're watching, Vince is going to pick his school, where he would have gone leaving Dillon High School. So I have Michigan, Texas, and Michigan State. And this is a big moment.
What's going on,
Mom? Very nervous.
Mom, Dad, how you doing, sir?
Yeah,
appreciate
got
that.
All
appreciate
the media that. Here. Star quarterback. Ladies and gentlemen. Vince Howard.
I know it's been after much debate and speculation. I've sat down with my family, Mom, Dad, Corey. What's going on, guys? And I've decided to go to Michigan State.
Whoa!
East Lansing, taking my talents to East Lansing. D'Antoni, coming to play for you. Appreciate it.
How cool is that? Mad props to Michael B. Jordan for choosing, or I should say Vince Howard for choosing Michigan State. Pretty cool stuff. Let's hit our second break when we come back. Again, just under 10 minutes left in the show. Again, if you want to call in, get a quick call in, 517-355-9527. But when we come back, we'll put a bow on this edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Hey, folks, again, our phone lines are open. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Call in 517-355-9527. Have to bring this up. The Detroit Lions winning in Wisconsin, topping the Green Bay Packers for the first time since 1991. Crazy game, because they almost gave it away, actually, after a failed onside kick recovery that went right through the hands of Megatron Calvin Johnson. The Packers recovered, and they had a chance to actually win that game. Here's how that last play played out.
Maste and Crosby from 52. For the win. No good. Blocked. And the Lions have won it.
Now, again, what does this win mean? It means a lot if you are a diehard Lions fan, because, again, it's history. They haven't won in Wisconsin since 1991. As far as the overall season is concerned, I don't know if it means that much. Let's be real here. I mean, it was the second win of the season, a season that has been just, Martha Firestone Ford. She held a press conference in which she let go of Tom Lewand and Martin Mayhew. Their time with the Lions upper management is now gone. And I do think that was the right move. And I do think that we will see a culture change depending on who the new hires are for the Lions. But let's be real here. The season is in the dumps. It's kaput. And the Lions are just playing for pride right now. What were your thoughts on that game, Isaac?
Yeah, you know, I saw a Packers team that was really struggling almost as much as the Lions going into it. Yes, they were 6-2 at the time, but they had lost their last two matchups, and they were on a totally cold roll. At the same time, great win for the Lions. I mean, you can't discount the fact that this is the Packers. This is Lambeau Field. This is the place they haven't won in 24 years. And the Lions defense was so resilient. At the same time, though, like you said, I mean, what positives are you going to take away from this one? That Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson had a decent connection throughout. That the defense played well against Aaron Rodgers, that's great. But at the same time, if you can't play good defense against the likes of Philip Rivers in the second half in week one, or if you can't play good defense against the Chicago Bears, you know what? I'm willing to call this an anomaly for right now. If the Lions can build upon this, great. Let Jim Caldwell keep his job. But at the same time, right now, I'm assuming the opposite.
Yeah, we'll see how it pans out. And again, the Packers just have been playing terrible football dating back to November 1st, the beginning of this month, where they lost to the Broncos. Then the following week, they play the Panthers. They lose to the Panthers. And then they play the Lions, and it's just loud. And the Lions still almost gave that game away. I mean, if that field goal is good, game over. And we're sitting here having a different tune. Now, I don't mean to be, you know, a Debbie Downer here, but at the same time, hey, it's just two wins for the Lions. I'm not going nuts here. However, I am going nuts for the Detroit Pistons. How about that? They get a big win over LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers at home in front of a packed crowd at the Palace of Auburn Hills. It's really interesting because I was at the Chicago Bulls game not too long ago, and there were still a lot of seats left in the upper deck. But it amazes me how when you have arguably the best player on the planet in LeBron James, when he comes to town, how it's like just a tour. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know, Taylor Swift coming to town. I mean, the stands are just packed. And it was a great atmosphere last night from what I saw sitting on my couch. And how about Reggie Jackson? I really think Reggie Jackson is frustrating to me sometimes because I see Reggie when he penetrates and it seems like he just gets caught up and just throws up just ridiculous shot. Or he ends up turning the basketball over trying to kick it out to the perimeter. But he didn't do that last night. He played within himself. And when he does that, when he drives and is decisive with his drive, whether he makes up his mind that, hey, I'm going to drive and kick, or I'm going to drive and throw up a layup and create some contact, he is successful. Reggie Jackson played fantastic last night. Of course, Andre Drummond, a routine game for him, a routine double-double. He's been fantastic all year. The Pistons defense certainly has to tidy up, though, and I'm looking forward to see how they progress now. And they knock off, again, LeBron James and the Cavs. LeBron James, he balled out last night, but they did a great job of containing his supporting cast. Well, again, folks, got to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tonight at 6 p.m. I'll be chatting with Nick Binder, who is the head coach of the Mason Boys Varster soccer team, who won the state championship not too long ago. Also, we'll have Matt Bird, head coach of the Grand Ledge High School football team, on tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. Jim Ahern will be here on the show on Friday. Much thanks to all of you out there for listening. Much thanks to Laurel Young, Shannon Thomas, Ethan Merrill, Isaac Constance, everybody who contributes here on the show, and to you for tuning in and listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.